Praise the Lord. Some people had some experiences yesterday. Do you have any question? Let me take one or two questions, then we'll do what the Lord is leading me to do and we close. Including the teaching I gave yesterday. Please, if there's any question, because we don't want to leave you in confusion, praise God. Praise the Lord. Any question? Come forward and ask. Give me a microphone quickly.
Praise the Lord.
Nami, you go ask. Nami.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sir, I've been all this while trying to get connected so that I will be cleared about this very question.
Connected with what?
Online.
You are not from Lagos.
Yes,
where
sir.
Are you from?
I'm from Benue State.
From Benue. Clap your hands. And I came just for this program.
From Boko, precisely.
Boko.
Not Boko Haram. Boko.
Boko without Haram.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Praise the Lord. Sir, where exactly do I supposed to pay my tithe?
Where did the Bible say you should pay your tithe to?
In the house of God.
That he said, my storehouse, he said, my store, that there may be meat in my house. The storehouse for food. Wherever you are feeding from, that is where you pay your tithe.
Wherever I am feeding from, spiritual.
Sure, that is your storehouse.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Then, another question there is this. You have been speaking and I've been listening to you saying that it's not good, and also it's in the scripture, for a woman to put on what belongs to a man.
Yes.
Then my question is this. The people that do act film and they wear trousers, women, is it a sin?
You mean Christian women?
Yes.
Oh, yes. You can even put on dress like Babalawo. You can even dress like masquerade. You are sending a message. You are acting something to send a message. It is not sin. That's why it is drama.
Thank you, sir.
Can wear anything you like to portray the character you want to show out.
Okay. Yes. The third one is this. Somebody collected money for house rent and he went ahead to give that house to another person and refuses giving me my money.
Call police for the person. In fact, join EFCC, police, custom, SSS, Army, Air Force, Navy. Everything on that man till he come give you back your money.
Amen.
Thank you.
Then the last one is the person whom you rent goods to and the person refuses paying you the money.
Go, in fact, go 3 days dry fasting for that person. Your questions are very funny questions.
I need to walk according to God's direction.
According to God's direction.
Yes, sir.
Police is recognized by the Bible. It's an institution of the law. So when you carry a criminal, carry a matter to police, that is what you are supposed to do. You are not to take the laws into your hand by going to hit the person. It will become sin. But you report to the police, or you take the person to court. You are scriptural in what you are doing.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you. Now, I also know that the Bible, come brother, maybe what you want to ask is if the person is a believer.
Actually, there are many, sir. But because
if the person is a believer, first you will try to settle it within the church setting. And when the church, the elders of the church, discover that he's not a Christian but a tear, they know what to do to get back your money for you. God bless you. Yes, sister?
My question is from the message you preached on Sunday. about understanding the end time anointing. You according to 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9, that is talking about those that will not make it, as in the fornicators, the adulterers.
Can you talk sharper than you? Are you feeling sleepy?
You said about the effeminate. That's where I'm pointing. Those that behave like the opposite sex. Now my question is this: there is a lady in my department in school, and she behaves like a man, but not that she likes it. She just finds herself behaving like a man from childhood. Now my question is it that she can never make it for rapture because she's behaving like that? Ignorant.
Is she a Christian?
She's a Christian.
You will ask her, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? So you don't know whether she has received the Holy Ghost or not. You know. Answer me now.
I don't know.
Find out from her, then come back to me.
Then my second question.
You receive the Holy Ghost, you will behave right. You will act right. Thank you.
The last question. He's talking about the gift of the Holy Ghost. Like the one of speaking in tongues. Now, if someone is praying and suddenly you burst out speaking in tongues, and maybe the prayer is being led by your leader, and you, because speaking in tongues, you are speaking it as the Spirit gives you utterance. Now, can that leader cut you off and you stop? It gives prayer points. Can that person be able to continue from where he stops? As in, can the Holy Ghost continue with him from where he stops? Or is it going to continue because it is now the Holy Ghost in action, even when the leader stops him?
Well, when you are together in a group and you are praying, the Bible says that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. So, when there is a leader, the Holy Ghost recognizes office, authority. That is why there are some churches that when people begin to operate certain gifts, the pastor will shut them up. And the pastor will say, I don't want that spirit here. You will never see that gift in operation in that church. The Holy Ghost will go, JJ, go stay for your corner. So also, if the person praying says in Jesus' name and you stop because you heard him say in Jesus' name, it means you are so matured until even when you are operating that gift of speaking in tongues, you can stop. You will stop. And when he calls another prayer point and that same grace is still around, you will pick up again and you will continue. So it's normal.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you. Yes?
Praise God.
Okay.
Our Geo preached concerning the anointing.
Your Geo?
Pastor.
which church?
Yes, sir.
Oh, here. Yes. Your Geo here. Okay, go ahead.
So my question is this. If a person...
It's okay.
My question is this. If a person receives the anointing oil of God, does he need to do the baptism of Holy Ghost?
Water baptism?
Yes.
Sure. You must be baptized. Water baptism. So if you receive the Holy Ghost first, you go and baptize. Water baptism.
Okay, my second question.
Even now, when we close now, the water will be ready for those who want to be baptized today, this morning.
My second question is this. When Jesus was crucified on the cross, and he said, it is finished, and the curtain was torn, that place that the curtain was torn, was it inside the temple, inside church here, or outside the church, where men now have the access to come and receive God? Was it in the church?
No, there were different sections of the temple, not church, temple,
yes,
in Israel. The only place, the temple they go to worship. It was God that gave Moses that pattern. and where the ark of the covenant was kept was separated from the congregation by a veil, curtain veil. That is where the Shekinah glory of God was. And no man had access to it. Only one man, the high priest, who had a special kind of dress to wear with bells around his waist with a rope, so that in case he goes there, the angel strikes him, his dead body, they can use that rope to pull him out. Nobody could enter there. It was called the Holy of Holies. The high priest has to purify himself first before going there, because that is where the presence of God was, the glory of God was. That's why wherever you are, if you pray, you have to pray for God to answer you, you have to face that temple, that direction. But the glory had left that temple. Amen. Hallelujah. Ezekiel chapter 8, he saw the temple, the glory left the temple. He saw it. And that glory didn't come back again until when Jesus Christ was baptizing. He was being baptized by John the Baptist by the riverside. As he came out of that water, that glory that was there that left came into a man, and he became the temple of the Holy Ghost. When you see me, you see the Father, and he shouted, I am the way, the truth, and the life, because God himself announced, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And Apostle Paul told us in Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, that please the Father, that in him should all fullness dwell. For the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in him bodily. And so, when he was hanging on the cross, praise the Lord. Remember that the Bible also, another scripture that said, sacrifices and what? Offerings and burnt sacrifices, praise the Lord. How did he put it? But what is it? What will he do? Say, a body have thou prepared me. So, he is no longer in any temple. The temple that was housing the glory of God was the body of Jesus Christ, that God built himself and dwelt there. That's why he is the Almighty God. Now, a soldier went in and took a spear and pierced his side. Unknown to him, he was piercing the veil that veiled the Holy Ghost. And by that tearing, the Holy Ghost left. Amen. And all of a sudden, as a type, the veil in that temple now tore into two, because through what happened on the cross on Calvary, everyone now has access to the Holy of Holies. When he said, come boldly to the throne of grace, that you might obtain mercy in the time of need. Now, everyone can come in. And now we can pray in his name, because we now have access. Where nobody could enter before, prostitutes can enter. Everybody can enter. Armed robbers can enter. Sinners can go in and obtain mercy. That was the significance of it, Thierry. God bless you.
Amen. I have another question. In that temple, is it a place we can receive the anointing oil that we can use to work for God?
Yes, the temple now is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost and fire. If you need anointing, come to Jesus. He'll give it to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Chiwe, before I hear from you, I want Baba has stood for too long. I don't want you to collapse. It's like he's in pain.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
I really thank God for the life of our pastor. I did not been him. When we read the Bible, it will appear as if the Bible is full of contradictory absurdities. But God has provided you for the expository. So, since I've been hearing from you, all the farrago contradictions which I taught before have been set in time.
God bless you. So, which question do you have now?
I have two questions here, sir. I want you to shed light on it. Number one, I think it's in Revelation 19:7. I don't think I need to read it. Well, the question I want to ask is that many people call this thing feast, that they will stay in the air for 7 years and begin to dine, that they begin to eat. But the Bible doesn't call this thing food. It says the flesh of the rebels. That the angel that cried out there didn't cry out to men. He cried out to the flies, the boss in the midst of this air, that they should come and eat that food. So many people, they call it food these days, that they will die and wine. So this Revelation 19:7 explain it all. That is number one, sir. Number two.
Sorry, is there a question or a clarification?
Okay, can I read it, sir?
No, I mean, what are you saying? Are you asking a question?
I'm asking a question.
What is the question?
The question is that it is not we the saints that we eat the super. It is not food, but the flesh of the rebels. But people, their belief was that 7 years they will be feasting, they will be eating food.
Which scripture is talking about the 7 years?
I don't know how they propound their theory. I don't know where they got it. But even the so-called generals these days. In fact, the other day I asked a general, one of the few I consider a general. The way he explained this thing to me, it's like teaching organic chemistry to a child of 3 years old.
Sorry. I know Revelation 19 verse 7
yes.
Speaks about the marriage supper.
Yes,
of the Lamb,
of the Lamb
has come.
Yes.
Correct? Let's read it.
Uh-huh.
It said, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him for the marriage of the Lamb. Okay, thank you. The marriage of the Lamb is come and his wife hath made herself ready. The marriage of the Lamb has come. I don't know where you fixed in 7 years there.
I didn't fix it.
They fix it. Well, maybe I will have to listen to what they are saying before I can understand.
Okay.
Because we too, we have a 7 year period we teach here.
Okay, sir.
But
the one I am talking is Revelation 19:7. To end, he's talking about the battle of Armageddon. Jesus is the one riding on the white horse, leading in verse 11. And we, the saints, are the armies in heaven that follow him upon the white horse too.
Correct.
Take note of verse 17. The angel that cried out did not call unto human beings, but fowls that flies in the midst of heaven. It says, come and gather yourself together unto the supper of the great God. And in verse 18, that ye may eat of the flesh of kings and the captains and of mighty men. In verse 19, he's telling us that the beast, that is Satan, and the kings of the heart that wanted to oppose Jesus' rule in the millennium, they wanted to make war against Jesus that sat on the white throne. In verse 20, it was written that the beast, that is Satan, and the false prophet, and those that believe him, was slain and cast alive into the lake of fire. Verse 20 recorded that the fowls were filled with the flesh of the rebels. So it is not we, that's my question, we the saints that we eat the super. It is not food.
Perfect.
But flesh of
you
rebels.
Are correct. Can we clap our hands for our God? You are correct. Go back to those generals and read this, your sermon notes again to them.
Thank you, sir.
You are 100% correct.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you, sir.
The second question is this, sir. It's in Mark, it's in Psalm 99, verse 4 to 8. What it says there was that, because if you look into the Bible, there are several places where God said, when you repent of your sin, it will seem as if you have not even committed that sin, because it will be obliterated from a spring.
Yes.
Now, when you see, if you read Psalm 99, verse 4 to 8, it said, Moses, Aaron, and Samuel, he said, they sinned against him, they asked for forgiveness, and he forgave them. But later, he took vengeance of their inventions. If God said he has forgiven, why should he take vengeance again? So that's where it baffled me. And
I'm sorry, sir. When you say that when God forgives, that it will be obliterated, obliterated from his brain. That is, he never remembers it again.
Yes.
Now I want you to consider this parable that Jesus Christ gave of the man that owed the master so much, but he could not pay, and the master forgave him. Then that same servant came to another one that owed him just some little thing and was peppering him. And that person could not pay, and he was dragging him the way the story went. And it got to the ear of the master. The master called him and said, you had so much, I forgave you. And this little one had just this little against you. You could not forgive him. Therefore, all the one who I forgive you before, pay back. Consider it. When you say that your sins have been obliterated totally from your brain, remember that there are actions that you can do that God can recall it.
Yes.
Because he said if you don't forgive, he too will not forgive. So we have to balance it.
There was even a place, all this, I want you to shed light on it. That God has to say, tell Israel, this will be the 10th time that you will sin against me. I think when they did something wrong at that time,
yes,
he recalled all the other things 10 times. So you are quite right, sir.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. But in that something, has that answered the question too? I think my question, has it been answered?
I've answered now that God can recall back your sins.
Okay, if by taking vengeance on their intentions before they left this world, it's quite another.
That what?
That he took vengeance of their intentions. That as he is, it seems as if God paid them, he took vengeance again after they have repented. If you read it, sir, Father's passage.
No, but I also want you to note that as the Heavenly Father deals with us, that is how also as we deal with our own earthly children, we the fathers that have children, that is how God also deals with us, his spiritual children. Now, when you have a child that is stubborn, now will you just, because you say, I'm sorry, you say, okay, I forgive you. Sometimes you still have to deal with him so that he will not repeat that thing again. So I believe that is how God has been dealing with Israel.
Okay, sir.
God bless you.
Thank you very much.
We have very few minutes more, please. Go on.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
Good day, sir. My question is about my sister. She went to, she did go to MFM, where she used 7 days for deliverance. So when she came back, she said, it is a sin to eat catfish, snail, and Titus fish. I want to ask, she said it's in the Bible. I told her that anything in the Old Testament, in New Testament, Jesus has come to raise it off and make everything clear. I need more explanation on that. Is it true?
That is a doctrine of MFM.
That's what she said. If I cook Titus, she doesn't eat it. Even if my mom bites, she said no, she doesn't.
That there's Titus.
Is that is a sin.
Let me ask our Sunday school teacher. AD 70. He said they should not eat Titus.
They should not eat what?
Titus fish. Catfish. Snail.
Okay, they should not eat catfish.
Yes, that is a sin.
It is no. It is not that the fish is a sin. It is that the fish has a nature that is a Christian, very smooth body, but when you touch it, it will strike you. That is the nature in that fish. So under the old covenant, because God was dealing with children in the natural, he said they truly eat that type of fish. He did not that fish per se, but there's a nature in that fish that he doesn't want to be his children.
Thank you. Now that is as it was in the Old Testament, but all these unclean animals in Acts chapter 10, they came before Peter in a vision. And Peter said, Tafiapa. When the Lord said, Peter, rise, kill and eat. All those four-footed animals, unclean animals in the law, were packed together. And then they were coming from heaven to Peter, and the Lord said, Peter, rise, kill and eat. And he said, Lord, I have never eaten anything that is unclean. And that same voice told him, Peter, don't call that which I have cleaned unclean. And he was referring to the Gentiles who were also unclean. The Jews had nothing to do with us, even God himself, because we were unclean. Then when you come to Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, can we screen it? Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, of the new moon, of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Now, no meat is unclean.
Thank you, sir.
So, they are just confusing them. All these deliverance, so-called deliverance ministers, they know how to cause confusion. You see yourself looking for fruit of the womb. You born children in the dream. They will say you have demon children for your demon husband. When God is blessing you with the children. All funny things happen. You swim inside water. It's not every swim inside water that is evil. Anyway, there's nothing like that. That's MFM doctrine, not Bible doctrine.
Church, praise the Lord. Sir, I want to ask this question. Because when I saw the banner there, I saw Holy Ghost baptism. Now, I want to ask this question. Because there's a message being circulated by an end-time church here in Lagos, but I won't call the name because of some reasons. Now, they teach that nobody has yet received the Holy Ghost. That there is a time that we shall be sealed with the Holy Ghost using Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. I want to know if that is true.
Well, since the Holy Ghost was released on the day of Pentecost, I don't know where in the Bible he was withdrawn. So if they show me where he was withdrawn, then I will believe them. Secondly, the evidence of the Holy Ghost is the purpose of the Holy Ghost achieved in your life. If you say there is no Holy Ghost, then what is it did I meet that converted me? What is it people are meeting, people are receiving here? The same thing that happened on the day of Pentecost, people are experiencing it here. It is their own way of covering up because they have driven the Holy Ghost far from them and they need to give some explanation to some people. So they use all those intellectual teaching to do that. That church is the name of their pastor, Amos Omoborowo. Is that his name? Answer now.
Sir, you have mentioned it. Sir.
I've mentioned it. He's a false teacher. He's a false prophet. Sir, false teacher.
Secondly, sir.
Nahim.
Secondly, sir. In some books, people, some of the end time teachers that are writing books, they say that William Branham teach in dual statement. That most of his messages are in dual statement. And they are using their own message to correct or to outline.
Is it from that same church? That same church? I said they are false. You are still bringing this in.
Thank you, sir.
They are false. You see me saying it confidently. They know me very well. Even some of them are watching me now. Secretly. And some of them are here now. He's a false. In fact, he's an antichrist. It's an antichrist spirit. Said to cause confusion with the precious end time message. That one of these antichrist spirits around. It's false. It's a false man. Yes?
Sir, please, I want to ask you. Is it right for someone to use left
hand? Talk to the microphone.
I want to ask if it's right for someone to use left hand to put offering in an offering box.
Nobody God create the left hand. Now devil get left hand. Don't bring your tradition to the church. Use any hand to give offering. Okay. You have not committed anything.
Okay, sir. Sir, secondly, I want to ask you. Whenever I read the Bible, I don't understand it.
You don't understand? You want to understand?
Yes, sir.
Are you married?
Yes, sir.
Eh?
No, sir.
I'm going to attach you with Prophet Joseph. The two of you do Bible study together. You will understand. And so you see me after.
Yes, sir.
Then I will join you. He's a very good teacher of the Bible.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I'm expecting you. Don't forget to. Yes.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Anything you don't understand,
pray.
God will grant you understanding. Pray. It's one prayer he answers very fast. That you want to know him. That you want to know his word. He answers very fast. So pray, you will understand. Yes, sir.
Praise God. I want to ask this question, sir.
Yes.
If someone, after giving his or her life to Christ, and find out that his name was not written in the book of life because he have not received the Holy Ghost. Now, according to Colossians chapter 1 verse 27, that says, Christ is made the hope of glory, and because he have not received the Holy Ghost, so he believes his name is not in the book of life. And he now went ahead to fast and pray, and asking God to give him the Holy Ghost. Now, according to the Bible, that everyone that asks it, receives it. Will God still give him the Holy Ghost?
Your question is going left and then will come back and go right and come back and stand still. You will never know your name is not in the book of life until you have died and you find yourself where you are. While you are alive, you cannot know whether your name is in the book of life or not, because there are some people whose names are in the book of life that may still be prostitutes out there now, may still be armed robbers somewhere. Until a man dies, you cannot know that their name is not in the book of life. My blood brothers and sisters who are not Christians, if they die without me following them to know where they are, I know they are going to hell. Their name is not in the book of life. Lie, lie. Because they are not Christians. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And maybe my elder sister will be watching now. She likes to use my anointing oil. In fact, yesterday she has already sent for anointing oil. Elijah. Wallahi, if you don't repent, if you die, you are not going to where I will go. Praise the Lord. So while you are alive, the fact that you are doing everything to receive the Holy Ghost is also evidence your name is in the book of life. Because it's not everyone that yearns for it. So keep praying. Don't give up till the day it happens. God bless you.
My second question goes like this. If someone, what advice will you give to someone who has been asking for the Holy Ghost? And maybe he has asked for the Holy Ghost for several years and it is as if he has not seen the Holy Ghost coming to him. And now he's thinking to go back to the world of sin because he thought maybe it's not God does not want to give him the Holy Ghost. So maybe it's not an elect. What advice will you give to the person?
First and foremost, the Bible tells us the Holy Ghost is not given to everybody. The Holy Ghost is given to them that believe. And if you believe, you will not be thinking of going back to the world because there is nowhere else better than being in Christ. So that even shows he's an unbeliever. So let him go back to the world till the day he believes, then he can come back. God bless you.
My next question goes like this.
See, people are waiting. I have only 5 minutes to leave here.
Okay. According to the book of Exodus chapter 32, verse 32 to 33, when Moses was praying that God should blot out his name out of the book, which book is he referring to?
He's talking about the book of remembrance, from where all those who work hard for God will be rewarded. So he's asking God to remove his own reward from that book.
Okay. Now, is it the same book that God was answering him back by saying that those who sins against him, he will blot out their name?
He's talking about his children anyway. I hope you know they are his children. It's the same book.
Praise God. According to Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, that says that if care is not taken, the very elect shall be deceived. Now, if the very elect is being deceived, where will they spend their eternity?
No, listen. Quote that place again.
I say in Matthew chapter 24, verse 24.
What does it say? Quote it.
It says, if the days we are not shortened, the very elect might be deceived.
No, you are not quoting it well. Can you scream Matthew 24, verse 24? See, verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders. In so much that if it were possible, but it is not possible. The reason why it is not possible is because God Himself, amen, is the one dealing with the elect. Can any bride member be deceived? That's the reason why I can confidently call that man Ashomolu that is an antichrist. He is false in us. Greater is he than he is in us. Can't deceive us. And I've told you people that anybody that will come to deceive the elect, he will not come with rosary. He will not come with white garments. The elect in this age, they will come with sermon book and a quote of Prophet Abraham. So, but before you quote, we also have another quote to stay before you. Because what you know, we know it too. Praise God. It's a lie. It's a liar. A big liar. Yes?
Good morning, Pastor.
God bless you.
So you say something about Muslim. So does it mean that all the Muslims, all of them, when they die, they will go to heaven?
I'm not there for trouble. That's how I talk.
No, he said.
I'm not there.
No, Pastor, I want you to confirm something to me. He said there's a sister of yours that died, that is not a Christian. That's.
No, wait.
That they are sure that he's going to hell fire.
So he's still alive, oh. She's still alive.
But I want to know, as a Muslim now, what if they die?
The Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to God except by me. Any religion that tries to go to God outside of Jesus will never see the Father. I call any religion name. I don't call a...
Praise the Lord. But Pastor, there is some of those Muslims, some of them, they believe so much in God.
They believe in what?
In God, and they do some of them. They do.
Every religion believes in God. Hindu, Buddha, everyone, they believe in God. That's why. But they reject Jesus. So Jesus said, I am the way. You reject me, you can never go to the Father. And that has sealed out every other religion. That's why they hate us. That's why they persecute us. That's why they kill us. Because they know that we are not making empty boasts. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Second question.
Not only Muslim. There are some Christians also that will never go to heaven. Why? Because Jesus Christ spoke to them. He said, now, the Father seeketh such that we worship him. God is a spirit. And that are worshiping, we worship him where? In spirit and in truth. What is the opposite of truth? Error. So if you carry Bible and you worship God in error, you will never go to heaven. The spirit of error is to lead people to hell with Bible in their hands. Thank you.
Pastor. Second question, Pastor. Why is it that those that serve God, they only suffer a lot?
Who?
Those that serve God, as in they suffer the Lord. I want to know why.
Well, the Bible says all them that.
No, Pastor, can we suffer as in the people of God, like as in Job? Or can we suffer?
No, it's trial and temptation. When Apostle Paul said that we wrestle not against flesh. Wrestle, use wrestle, and then he said, talk about the weapon of our warfare. Then he said, put on the whole armor of God. Those terminologies let you know that once you are a Christian, you have entered a battlefield. So, he said, he who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. Thank you.
Sorry, but Pastor, there is some Christians that they are doing very well. At least they are doing very well. They are living comfortably. But is it that why is it that some people, they will pray, at the end nothing happens. As if
no, you know, time is going. That's why I'm just answering you. Chap. No Christian suffer. No Christian is suffering. Because there is a comforter we have. And it's a God of peace. That is the irony of our faith. Paul and Silas, they were locked up. Instead of crying, they began to sing and rejoice. Praise the Lord. The more we are persecuted, the sweeter the faith becomes. That is how God has designed. Can we stand up?